Many people are living life floating with false alerts. Why? Because they think money is what life is about. Solomon said, I pursued those things also, and I got them. When I tried to draw on them, I found that the account was empty. Do you get my point? So you see, it is not about competition. It's not about who I must have achieved this by this time. No, it's about what? Righteousness. It's about establishing righteousness. It's about demonstrating the power of godliness on the earth. That's what we are talking about. I said something last time, talking about blessing. That a body must be prepared for the blessing to enter. I remember I stopped. I said, let me explain what blessing is again. That blessing is not what most people think blessing is. Plenty of money for me. No. Blessing is when God wants to pour himself into the lives of people. You know, I was watching one of my senior colleagues. I've mentioned about him here before. He runs a ministry called Faith Alive Mission or something like that. You can Google it up now. At least I went to his website. So one of our sisters, when she heard me say the things I said about the guy, when she read, we're talking online actually. So when she read it, she now sent me a message that, please, how do I give to that particular organization? So I said, I don't have the man's number. He refused to carry my mobile phone. All right? He said that his life is hard enough without a mobile phone. So he doesn't want to add more hardship to it. So he doesn't use it, at least then when I used to come to Enugu here. All right? So because of that, I now went online to go and do some search to find out how I can get information for that sister who wants to send them an offering. Anyway, I now stumbled on their website. Of course, it's simple. They just Googled it up and then the whole thing came up. And I began to watch it again. And read the story online and watch the YouTube video. And the man was talking. His name is Chris Isiche. He said that as a young student, he didn't have money. So he prayed to God that God should please help him to go through this medical school. And that he will spend his whole life helping those who don't have any money. So when he started, what he began to do was to first counsel people, because that's all he could do, and give them the little he could. Let me make a long story short. You know, he's the kind of person now that UN representatives talk to. I don't know whether I get my point. But how did what was he trying to explain? He said, when he was speaking, he said that one of the dreams he has is that one day this hospital will evolve into becoming a medical school, so he can train, now this is where I'm going, so he can train doctors who will realize that this profession is not about money. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said that's his dream. And the way, of course, listen, you go and read about it. I don't want to spend all my time now preaching today, talking about it, but you can go and read about it. He had an idea. Now, we're talking about a blessing. We're talking about blessing. Talking about blessing. He had an idea that he wants healthcare to be free, totally free, zero payment, nothing. And do you know, as of now, he has attained it to a particular degree. Go on, online, you watch the video. You see the hospital. Listen, when he came to Enugu some years ago, one day one of those were talking. He told me that they are consumables in the laboratory. Those of you who understand what I'm talking about, consumables. That is, it's not a microscope. A microscope is not consumable. It's supposed to last decades. Do you understand? Consumable is a glass slide, chemicals, stains, cotton wool, do you understand? Syringes, things you use and discard. Said their bill as about 4 years ago was 6 million naira a month. Are you getting my point? At that time, he had 10 doctors employed full time, earning a full competitive salary. And what was the patient's pay? Nothing. You walk in, you see a doctor, they operate on you if necessary, and you go home and you don't pay a dime. He said when people were offering to pay so much, they had to open a place to collect money with a big sign. This is a free hospital. Any money you bring here is considered purely as a donation. Because some people just wouldn't walk away free. So you had to open a place where they could collect money. Let me tell you, we're talking about blessing. The last time I saw him in Enugu here, he said, look, Dr. Nation, I've entered into rest. He said, now I don't have to work. And you must understand what he calls rest. It is not that I have so much money now. No. He said, now that my dream does not require my presence anymore. It's now on autopilot. One day, you have to know how to respond to adversity. One day, the clinic he had caught fire. and burnt. And people, I think people heard about it. So they came and said they wanted to build him another one. He said to them, there's a problem. I don't take money. He said, okay, you clear out. So he cleared out. How long do you want? They said 6 months. He said, fine. He cleared out. And they spent 100 million naira to build him a new clinic to replace the one that burnt. It was shortly after that he came to Enugu. He showed me the brochure. So I should look. He said, Dr. Oshuna, I've entered into rest. He said, now I don't have to do anything again. Now, he wasn't talking about, I didn't know whether I owned a house that time of his own. I don't know. But one thing he said is that, listen, I've entered into rest. That dream now, he said, what I want to do now, we're seeing how we can now move out from there, have smaller centers here and there. But that particular one does not need my presence. His colleagues queue up there to work when they're on holiday. The 10 doctors there were paid by Baptist Mission from the United States. Mayo Clinic, many of you know them, were sending students there to come and work in Africa. You are getting what I'm trying to explain. Why? That's what I'm talking about, blessing. His dream, the Bible says that, said to Abraham, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. So you must understand what I'm talking about. It's not about, you know, I keep on saying, it's not about chopping fat. Anything you want in life, ask God for it, he will give it to you. Just a matter of time. Yes. Some of them, when the time is about to reach, you will remind him, say, Lord, you know, I asked about this long ago. I have changed my mind. It's not necessary anymore. I've realized that the body is more than food. That life is more than food and the body more than raiment. Listen. That day we spoke to him. He said, in fact, he told me then that the problem he was having at that time, that's why he said, look, whether I could counsel him. And I told him something. He said, that is right. That yes, I will operate on that. The people were bringing money, you know, trying to sponsor. Guys were looking for where to do good work. So they now begged him whether he could work there full time, because then he was a lecturer and consultant at the University of Jos, all right, teaching hospital there. They were begging him to please resign that job. They will pay him the full salary, let him work here full time. So that was where, what he was on when he came to Enugu last time I saw him. And we're talking about it. That was how much people, all right, that is how God sent help into his life to fulfill his vision. Notice what the vision is about. Are you getting my point? We're talking about blessing. Blessing is not just, it's not, you know, you are delivered from poverty in Jesus' name.
Amen.
People today, every time I mention blessing, they think of their pockets so you can get some more. I've said it to you again and again. Paul said, he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall both supply and multiply your seed for sowing. That is what he's doing. Increasing your ability to do good. That's what blessing is about. Blessing is not about, come to my house, look at it now. I need to have all the cars, all the brand new cars. Look at the size of the house. My God. Look at what God has done. Amen. If you are still rejoicing over that, you're not a sinner. You just need to be properly saved. Your salvation never completes. It's not yet complete. There's still a lot in it that is lacking. You have not yet stepped into the fullness of what this thing is about. Listen, that is what people make as a mistake. All right, that they think that when you preach like this, you are saying Christians should suffer. They shouldn't have car. They shouldn't have house. They shouldn't have food. Their clothes should be torn. When they want to praise God, they should do like this: praise the Lord, because there's a hole in their armpit. No. That's not what we are preaching. We are saying that those things that are added, God will add them to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, I've said it again and again. Look, it's a foregone conclusion. Prosperity is already your portion.
Amen.
You will never lack for your own personal needs in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There, it will never happen that you want something. You don't have the resources to accomplish it before you start thinking about it. No, it won't happen to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you, that you have all sufficiency for all, in all things. Then you now super abound. That's what we are talking about. The super abundance unto good work. A man spoke to me that he said, listen, I have entered into rest. He said, when I started, now listen to this, life is in seasons. So when I started, it was tough. It was just my wife and I. He said, but now, do you understand my point? Clinic burnt. If you go online, you'll see the one that they used to replace it. 3 floors. They equipped it completely. Massive building. fully equipped. Beds, theater equipment, everything. I was watching him on that YouTube video and watching reading the other things. They've now even gone beyond just providing healthcare. They now train people so that they will not remain poor. In fact, one woman that day said, look at it now. I have my shop. She went there. She's HIV positive. She had lost hope. She had lost everything. Then she saw Dr. Chris, and they began to talk. And then the next thing, they've given her accommodation. Stay here for a while we get you trained. Gave her drugs. Beefed up her hope again. See her looking very healthy, looking very beautiful, looking very nice. And now she owns her own business. That she has moved out of the accommodation they gave her so that other people can stay there. That is, the man has been blessed to be what? A blessing. What I'm preaching in this season is that somebody needs to get up and allow God build, that is, cooperate with God to build that structure that will allow God's blessing to flow. It is that flow we are talking about. I don't preach to Christians that think that they are an end. You are not an end. You are the flow. You are a channel. Are you getting my point? God is not sending money to you. He's sending money through you. I'm telling you. He's sending it through you. Through you. Are you going to build businesses? Why are you going to build companies? Because people have to work. God believes in productivity. God does not like idleness. When I read Henry Ford's My Life and Work, Henry Ford would categorize men that there are different categories of men, and we should not stop pretending as if there are none. The other day, my wife and I were speaking, talking about different things, you know, family matters and all of that. As the experience has taught me, there's not everybody you give money to do business. Some of them, you find them good jobs. Yes. For every money you give them, they'll lose it. Somebody was asking her, okay, whether you can help her. I said, listen, you know how old this guy is? She said, yes. I said, how many business has he done before? So I said, what gives the impression? This one is asking you to put money in to do now, to start, so he can do something. I said, who told you he can handle it? I said, he doesn't have a track record of being able to build, hold any business together. I said, find him a good job. He's not a bad person. Henry Ford said he's found that one out. So that was why he built Henry Ford's company, that's Ford Motor Company, partly to help people hold a job. So they said, don't worry, you are not a good entrepreneur, I am. I'm going to build a business so big, all of you will have somewhere to work. No, read that man's story. It includes the issue of the guy who ensured that he's going to make sure everybody has houses, but they have inspectors making sure the houses are clean. Because not all men have faith. His logic, when your children fall sick, it will be my problem. I don't know whether you get the point. That when the children fall sick, it affects my productivity. At the end of the day, everybody is prospering because one man stood up and allowed God to build a structure under him with which he is passing divine blessing into the earth. The woman I talk about once in a while, also Mary Kay Ash, when I read her story, at the point I did a survey, the best company for a woman to work for in the world, she was number one in the United States. At that time, she had 2 million marketers working under her. 2 million people marketing her products. And for her also, it says it's not about money. You know, you have to understand, if it was about money, some people shouldn't work at all. That is, the money has become too plenty. The money has become too plenty. They build structures, not they. You are going to build things, build structures, so that the world will be blessed. Now, talking about being a blessing. You know, I want to just drop this so that it will help some people, especially since my brethren and I have been talking about this for the last few days, and information is good. Information is very good. You know what happened was that, let me just tell you the story to help you, okay? We were analyzing private universities in Nigeria, Christian universities. And you've heard this story before. People will say that they are too expensive, all these Christian universities. Or people will contribute money. The church people will contribute money, and their children can't go there. I know you have said it too. Before you say anything, let me pray for you. God, forgive him, forgive her. It's ignorance. It's ignorance. Let these people who thought like that and said like that, Lord, wipe away all their sins with the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more. Don't say it again. You know, we're discussing, my brethren and I, and I said to them, some of us spoke up, right? We said, listen, in fact, I wrote an essay because one brother first wrote something to the whole house. Some people are now talking and challenging. What is it? What about the children of the poor? What about children of the widow? What about this? What about that? And I answered. I said, number one, this is the interesting part. In part of my speech, I quoted three people. Number one, I was writing, and I quoted two other people. One being one of our brothers who was a head of, I think, the salary section in a Christian university for 7 years. And I just wrote, I quoted for them what he said. In summary, they are not making money. That's number one. Then number two, of course, me, I was speaking. I'll tell you what I said. But let me quote the other brother who spoke. He's a professor of law at Thurgood Marshall School of Law, Texas Southern University in Houston. I quoted him again that notice what Emeka said, one of our brothers. I said, this is what Emeka said. Emeka said the best talk he had heard on this Christian university thing was the one written by the other brother, Gabriel, that he showed a kind of insight that is lacking in the public discourse that makes meaningful progress in that direction difficult. So I told him, I said, that's a man who's also an insider. I said, me talking, I'm also a university lecturer. I said, apparently we know something the rest of you don't. That universities don't make money. They can hardly get by. Listen, from now on, I forbid you in the name of God from looking at any university and criticizing them that they're just charging exorbitant fees. That's private universities. Because as a matter of fact, they're hardly making money. Hardly. Hardly. He said, what about all the money they are charging? Trust me, they are hardly making money. You see, they are not secondary schools. I hope you get my point. The people that work there collect good money. Unlike secondary schools in which nobody is checking who is there, who is not there. Nobody comes to inspect the quality of your staff. You know that. If you like, stock your school with people who didn't go to school as teachers. Only the parents will decide whether their children are coming or not. University is not like that. NUC will come. You say you have 5 professors. Yes. Can we see the papers with which you made them professors? They will inspect it. All right? His publications are good. Yes, you could have made him a prof. All right, so your 5 professors are real professors. On top of that, they tell you that, sorry, these professors, they can't train more than 15 students. They tell you the maximum number of students you can take. Let me just drop that one for you to help you. When you leave here today, you will never criticize any one of them. When you see a man like Bishop Oyedepo, put his picture in your room and bless him every day. Because if he did not build Covenant and Landmark, which one is the third one that he's building now? Imagine the number of people who will compete for the other universities. Now think about it for a moment. And let me remind you of something. Those people who are going to his universities, who can pay half a million naira a year, their parents know people in these federal universities. They will displace the children of those who don't know them. Think about it for a moment. The man who can cough out, put 2 children there, drop 1.5 million a year, if he wanted to come to UNN. Are you getting my point? Yes, he walked to the dean's office. Ah, oh boy, I'm like, how are you there now? Now my children, they enter half an hour. Oh, okay. He said, the university is having problems. Okay, donate 200,000 for the university. You know? Displace the children of the poor you are complaining about. He alone will displace 3 of them from federal universities. So what do you do for Bishop Oyedepo? You thank him, sir. Thank you, sir, for opening more doors and for removing all these rich people. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm talking about something. Being blessed to be a blessing. Because men like that arose, literally in Nigeria today, there are scores of thousands who can go to university that would not have been able to go if they did not arise. I'm not here to be giving you analysis of figures, but take my word for it. I know you trust me. Those guys are not making money. I did a small calculation if you had to run the College of Medicine. To have your students have lectures, they will have to pay 100,000 naira a month. Minimum. Minimum. They will pay 100,000 naira a month. Minimum. 100,000 a month. That's a gross underestimate. That's where I work. I know what we are paid. I know what NUC we allow. I have calculated it. It's not possible if the students had to fund it. Each one, in fact, what is more realistic is that they will pay 200,000 naira a month to be in College of Medicine. If their funds had to fund everything. But it can't. So God raised first federal government in Nigeria. People like me went to school paying inclusive of accommodation, tuition, and all school charges. I paid 120 naira a year. You say money was more valuable then? Yes. I left school in the year 1991. 23 years by the time it's October this year, by the time it's September this year. All right? But I still remember. To eat for a whole month was 300 naira. So my whole year's tuition plus accommodation could not feed me for more than half a month. Are you getting my point? Yet, that was all federal government collected from me because I went to a federal university. But they can't afford it anymore. So how will you now solve the problem for the others coming after? You must be blessed. Did you hear what I said? And number one source of blessing, stop criticizing those who have gone ahead of you. Bishop Oyedepo must never be criticized by you for any reason. If he flies 10 private jets, you better thank God for him. Because if he got trekking like you, he'll be dead now. I hope you know that. If he goes on Okada, he'll be dead. If he even enters commercial, he'll be sick. Because for men like that, every 1 hour is too expensive to waste. Dangote and Co. fly private jet all over the world, not because of pride. Because people won't let them, even in first class, they can't rest. Men book flights to join them. I hope you know that. One day I heard a story of a man, I won't mention his name, MD in Nigeria. He wanted to talk to one man. He couldn't get to talk to him. He heard the man was going to London. He bought a first class ticket, 700,000 naira. The man entered plane to enter plane. Sit down there, the man. Morning, sir. I'm trying to see you. Listen, I'm telling the truth. They were on that flight for 6 hours. They landed in London. He went to the men's room, watched it, took the next plane back to Nigeria. To talk to a man, he spent, to fly to the US first class is $6,000. Reduce that small to go to UK. That was what he flew to talk to somebody. Men like that are tired of people blocking them on first class flights. So to be able to rest, they fly private. And better thank God, he wasn't that. Look, I don't care that Dangote is a Muslim. I pray for him. Alhaji, you no good eye. Not yet. You will live long enough to give your life to Christ. In case you have not done it secretly. Some of them have done secretly. Mm-hmm. But this 16 billion naira refinery, you will finish it. Amen. When you finish, you will build other things. When you are no longer building, then God can remove you. Listen. You should be looking like, let him buy 10 private jets. Anytime he buys one, I will worship the Lord. Father, I thank you that my senior brother is buying private jet. At least it means that some of us can buy a private car. It's the same blessing in Jesus' name. Yes, it's true. It's true. What I'm telling you is true. It's true. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me just drop one news for you, please, before I get back to my message. Do you know, this is just not part of my message, just exciting me. I read a report yesterday and said in the United States, you know the most educated people that exist in the United States? Guess. Nigerians. They said Nigerians are the most educated people in the United States of America. That the proportion of graduates, MSc and PhD holders is mind-boggling. The average white can't understand. And I wrote an article to my brother. I said, do you know why? Because for a long time in Nigeria, federal government sponsored education. We were here complaining and grumbling against the government, but they were making us the most educated people in the world. We did not realize it. I was teaching a class of medical students at Nnamdi Azikiwe University. I said to them, never criticize this country again. That you are sitting there in this class is because you're a Nigerian. I said, if you're an American, your father could not afford medical education. So I said to them simply, please from now, thank God. I said, the degree you're going to get from here, it will be useful all over the world. Only for me to read yesterday that they did a survey in the Houston area. and they found out I want to meet in Nigeria. I know the interesting, as they said, I realized that three of my friends that I know, I like that, who are living in the Houston area. The first one I mentioned to you is Emeka. He's a professor of law in Togut Masha. He was my classmate at university. The second one is Chukwueze. He's a physician teaching at university there. If I tell you I'm traveling, I'm sure I'm going to his house. And the other one of our brother Solomon. He works for Shell. He has a PhD, which he paid for with his money. He had a BSc from University of Benin, master's from Unilag, and then one day he gathered money, paid for PhD in Texas A&M. Listen, gone are the days when they used to tell that Nigerians are drug pushers and 419. We have a new reputation. Bookworm. I will send you guys the link, so you go and read it. Chuk said one day he sat down, he overheard two Africans talking. One from Somalia, the other one from, I think, Ghana. They were talking about Nigerians. He didn't know he was a Nigerian. He didn't know what they were talking about. What are they talking about? I said, man, those guys, they can't go to school. Those guys are so educated. They're always going to school. That most of them are so educated. He said one day he met a Greek American who said he had never seen a set of people as well-read as Nigerians. Greek American. Let me tell you, our old reputation of drug pusher and 419 is dying. Amen. Our new reputation is bookworm. We know book. Book now, our friend. I will send you the link. You guys, you know, forward it to everybody you know on this earth. Let them read it. This is a survey done by an American newspaper. Not somebody we pay to do it. The other one I read, as a Nigerian came said last week, they did a survey before that and found out that the top 8 nationals that are likely to succeed in the U.S., one of them was a Nigerian. From all over the world, when you gather people together, I said, of those immigrating to the United States, who are those who are most likely to succeed? Amongst the top 8 are Nigerians. I said, those guys are no-nonsense people. They are go-getters. They come there, they don't come there to relax. They say, man, what can we do? They don't want anybody's welfare. No. They don't want your welfare. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now I digressed, all right? I'm not bringing an issue. There was a time we were all set up for that. That's what I'm trying to say. Then for it to continue, that's what I'm saying. You know, please don't criticize anybody who is doing something good. I was telling my wife today, you want to make money from school? Do primary school and secondary school. Don't go near university. It will bankrupt you. Most men who are doing it, they are doing it for different reasons apart from making money. The Christians say they want a Christian school. The unbeliever says, I want something in my name. Are you getting my point? Sometimes an unbeliever boy said, no, let my society have a school. There are those in the north that build schools because the southerners are always building. A friend of mine, one of our brothers, he traveled from Lagos to Akure for a wedding. He counted for us on paper the number of universities he passed by, private, like 8, between Lagos and Akure. And he said, my God, look at the number of universities. He wrote the name down for us to read. That people are getting ready for the next generation. Don't sit down here and be complaining. You know why I brought that one up? For us to continue to be well educated. Federal government of Nigeria can't afford it anymore. They can't. You are a witness to how much state universities now charge. State universities are not cheap anymore. If you are in law in SU, that is like 200,000 a year now. Have you? Yes, it's quite expensive. There I heard it. I was shocked that state universities say, yes, you want to study law in SU now? It's almost 200K you pay. Tuition, not. Not the computer that you must buy. Not your suit, your black suit. And I know, that's not part of the money you pay them. To be able to come to school with ID card, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm saying to you, for people to be able to go to school in life, you will be blessed. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. If more and more people are blessed, see those universities, like Winners and Co., the price will keep coming down. They will keep coming down. Because you and I will have the money to go and say, ah, good morning, talk to the dean. How many students do you have here? All right, what if we were to give you 500 million naira? What would that do? They say, in this faculty? Don't worry. That would do a lot. We'll cut the fees down. by half. He said, no problem. That's my checkbook that they bring you. You sign it. It's been nice visiting you today, sir. God bless you, sir. When they say, will you wait to see the vice chancellor? They say, no, tell him I'm in a hurry. I have a plane to catch. Amen. When they want to send visitation party to come and visit you at home, tell them that is any problem? Is it for more money? He said, no, they just say thank you. He said, I've been well thanked. After I left people that day, the first news I got increased my holding by $1 billion. Is that not a good thank you? So if you need more money, call me. Don't come and greet me to say thank you. Don't remove from my reward. All this earthly thank you, self, it spoils something. Because God is a calculator. Yes, they thank you too much on the earth, your reward is shorter in heaven. It's not in the Bible. Say, verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Let me tell you the truth. In fact, today, not just in time, you know. The message just everything just got. Let me draw something for you. If you do good, they want to build a monument for you. Run. Yes, don't let human beings build monuments for you. They want to name something after you die first. Let them negotiate with your children. While you are living, don't allow it. You give to a church, they go put your name on pew. Go there at night, Nicodemus, and chip it off. Call somebody. If they put them back, I go chip them again. In fact, you know what I like about Orthodox churches? To threaten them is very easy. Say, if you don't put my name, I buy two more. If you put my name, I know they come again. They say, oh God, don't worry. We hereby erase your name permanently. You say, what will I write? A child of God, put this one here. All right. It's good. Don't let anybody build a monument for you. It's reducing your reward in heaven. I go somewhere and say, see this man has been a great man. Everybody, and they are shaking your hand and say, yes. When they start talking good of you like that, Jesus said, be careful. Be careful when men speak well of you. All this one of saying, he's helping the poor, it's not good. That is why you realize that you don't hear. Have you ever heard the name Bishop David Oyedepo going to give to the poor? No. It is not because he doesn't. It is because they read the Bible. He has come, he's given to the poor man of God, he's given to the poor. Those guys do more good work in one day than TB Joshua can do in a year. Except that they read the Bible. They read the Bible. They know what Jesus said. They know it's not a joke. They know if a cameraman follows us there, the next day, in our casket, they go film. They know. They know. That's why they don't come in front of a TV. And you will also not go in front of a television in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will do your good works like your father. Yes, you are not going to go there and be brandishing that. Yeah, I did this. No. But God will bless you so much, it will be a blessing. Amen. Let me say to you, for every child you have, you probably will see, you pay school fees for 200. Amen. In fact, that's an underestimate. After a while, those who need money for you from school fees, they won't come to see you. That's too much of hassle. They are disturbing you. You see one of the boys. What do you say you needed from Oga? Yes, sir. Law school is 250,000 naira for just for 1 year. That's why you want to see Oga. You want to disturb him because of 250. What's your name? Go to school, don't worry. On Monday, go and register. And they have not seen you. They've just seen one of the boys because they know the kind of person that you are. And you're not going to do that just because you are happy or you are, no, not just because you are rich. No, what I want to say, not just because you are generous. Uh-huh. You are generous, but because you have plenty. That 250,000 to pay somebody's school fees would be a waste of time for them to be seeing you about. I told the story of one man, let me just say the story and I close. They stole his car. Olanka, you know that told me the story. One big man in Nigeria, one of those industrialists. They stole his car. So his driver ran home. Hey, what happened? Like a Land Cruiser. I'm robbers. What happened? Hey, where's daddy? Daddy. What happened? I'm robbers took the Land Cruiser. Eh? You want to wake daddy up because of Land Cruiser? He will sack you. The driver looked like, eh? You are lucky we stopped you. You go and wake him up because of Land Cruiser. You are sacked. Today, when the man finally came, and he said, what happened? They took the car. He said, hey, where did you buy it from again? Tell them to send another one. It wasn't worthy of discussion. He said, for him, that sleep was more valuable than that car because he had a hard time sleeping. So that he was asleep, you wake him up because they stole a Land Cruiser. He will come down and sack you. And he will think that you don't know what's important in life. You know what I'm saying, the vexo? Say, this is my driver that doesn't know what's important in life. Sack him. They came down and said, what happened? They stole Land Cruiser. I said, well, where did you buy from again? Tell them to bring another one. Have they stopped selling it there? That is, the thief spent more energy stealing the car than he spent replacing it. Oh, God. Such will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will be so blessed in this life, discussion of money will be boring to you. Amen. What you'll be discussing is how to help people. Amen. I said at the beginning, it's about righteousness. It's not about we want to be important. No, it's about God has to bless people. We have to build a structure through which he will bless them. Each one of us has a calling. Each one of us, God has given the assignment to help him put something together so that through us, he can bless people. Don't think it's only by charitable giving, giving money alone. That is one. I told the story of Henry Ford. He said, I have to build a company for many reasons. One, to prove to people that there's a way, there's a godly way of doing things. Number two, not every man can stand on his own. Many of them, we have to give them jobs, routine jobs, and then they will be able to take, they will be hardworking. They just don't know how to manage things. So he built a company to give them jobs. Everybody was paying, let's assume, $3 a day, those days. He said, why can't we pay six? After a while, I said, why can't we pay nine? So if the man is happy, he can work better. He said, why should he be making cars and he can't drive them? Will he be right? He kept on asking these questions and God kept on expanding the structure under him. Listen to me. You have the right mind. You ask the right questions. God will expand structures for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember what I said? For thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all the people around you. What does that mean? It is what you love that decides where God will set you up to in life. It's not what you desire to get for yourself. It's if I love righteousness, I want to be a blessing. I want to change things. Go and listen to our message, Spiritual Economics. There's a particular one I titled The King's Heart. Spiritual Economics was preached in 2008. That was quite some time ago. One of them is titled The King's Heart. Listen to that one titled The King's Heart. You understand what I'm talking about? There was a reason why God was excited about Solomon. If you love the right things, God will establish you. I hope you've gotten my point today. I hope you've gotten my point.